We're going to start at the bottom of Kufiyut Zayin Amud Bet, but the two dots. So now, Rav Papa has been discussing with the Bai a number of things in our Perek and Masechto. So here he has a question. Again, he says, Amalei Rav Papa the Bai. So yesterday we spoke in the Brice about the three different opinions. One opinion being that the Aretz and Chalka, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that the land was divided amongst Yotzei Mitzrayim, which is the opinion of Rabbi Oshia. We had the other possibility, which is Rabbi Yonatan, that was the Baye Aretz and the Chalka Aretz. And then we had Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who said both the Baye Aretz and to Yotzei Mitzrayim. So Baye asks, Bishlam al demandam are Yotzei Mitzrayim and the Chalka Aretz. According to one who says that it had to do, or the division of the land was based on Yotzei Mitzrayim, Hanu Tichtiv. That's why it's written, the Rav Tarbe, Nachlato, Lema'at Tam'it Nachlato. Well, it makes sense that somebody got more and somebody got less. But Laman Damar Levayaretz, according to one who says that it was divided amongst the people coming into the land, Ma'ad Rab Tarbu Nachlato Kasho. So what's the problem? I mean that the way the Rashbam reads it, he says, it's obvious if the Pasuk tells you that each person would get, each Sheva would get an Achla, and then each individual within that Sheva would divide up. It's obvious that if you have a Sheva with a large number of people, or you have a Sheva with a small number of people, that they would get a lot or a little. Now, what is not obvious, or what is really a chiddush that the Pasuk might be teaching you, is that what happens if it's nitchalek liyotzei Mitzrayim? If it's nitchalek liyotzei Mitzrayim, then if there is some sort of change within the family between the time they left Mitzrayim and the time they reach Eretz Yisrael, then you could have a possibility, which is the Rav Tarbin Achlato Lama'at Tam'it Nachlato, which is that someone who originally had a large Nachla, and then now their family is smaller, they'll still end up with a large portion in the land, a large section of the land, because the people left Mitzrayim had significantly more children. On the other hand, if you left Mitzrayim with few people, and then the family expanded, then you'll end up with a family who has a large number, and yet they're only getting a small portion. So the Rav Tarbeh, or the Ma'atam'it, will be based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and based on that, you'll actually end up with a problem for the Baya Aretz, which is that they will not be the determinants of the division of the land, and their numbers are not necessarily going to match what was the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So you understand the Pasuk telling you, the Rav Tarbeh, Nachlato Ma'atam'it Ma'chlato, because that's the Chiddush. Chiddush is that because the Yotzei Mitzrayim were greater or smaller, they're the ones who determine the division of the land, and that makes sense. But according to the one who says that the people coming into the land divided, every person who went into Eretz Yisrael got a portion. I mean, each individual going into Eretz Yisrael got a portion. So then what's the chiddush of the Rav Tarbeh L'matamit? I mean, it doesn't matter. Every person who's going in is going to get a portion. And of course, if there are more people, you get more. Less people, you get less. There's no chiddush in telling me that information, because that information is obvious. If you're dividing it amongst the Baye Aretz, that's the way the Rishbam reads it. If it was the Baye Aretz, it should have said, Chilek HaChilek in Chalu. Right? Chilek HaChilek in Chalu means that each person will get, based on their numbers. So that would be the explanation, or that's what you wanted to say if you were saying the Baye Aretz. But if you're saying to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then also it makes sense that there's a Rav, a Tarbeh, and a Ma'atamit. Again, this was not the original Girsa of our... So the Tosavos tries to maintain the original Girsa of the Gemaras. The original Girsa of the Gemaras, Nilo Degaras, Hainu Dechtiv Ben Ra'av L'ma'at. That means Ben, whether you had a lot or a little. And this is how I explain it. Bishlam alan damam ar Yotzei Mitzrayim, according to one who says Yotzei Mitzrayim, Davu Shnei Achim, Yotzei Mitzrayim, two brothers left Mitzrayim, Vavalu Asara Banim, Mibayei Eretz, and they have 10 children going into the land, right? Shnei Achim, En Lehem Ki Im Shnei Banim. And then the second one, two brothers only have two children, Mibayei Eretz. Vayotan Asara, Lo Natlu, Afal Pi Shem Rubim, Kim Kamo Shnei Banim, Shein Ma'atim. That's basic, if you are two, your brothers, one brother has 10 children, the other brother has two children, or it's two brothers have together between them 10 children, two brothers between them have two children, and then it was based on the Ba'ei Aretz. Based on the Ba'ei Aretz, then the 10 brothers with 10 children going into Eretz Yisrael will get 10 portions. The group with two going into Eretz Yisrael will get two portions. And even if you say Chazara, that it's Choser, then everything will be distributed according to that. So then you have 10 and 2. But if you're Yotzei Mitzrayim, then you have a problem. Yotzei Mitzrayim is at the same, they have now have the same number of Yotzei Mitzrayim, yet they have numerous more kids. One has 10 children, and the other one has 2 children. And that division will be uneven. Here, the Achim, the Rav, or the Ma'at, right, is for the same 2 people that are going to leave Mitzrayim, they're going to end up with, right, one with Rav, meaning that has 10 children, will end up the same portion in the land as the same person who has 2 children going into the land, because it's not determined by the Eretz, but rather determined by Yotzei Mitzrayim. So these, the Girsa of the Tosfos reflects on individuals, right, the Ra'av and the Ma'at are reflecting the individuals going into the land, whereas the way the Rashbam reads it, that the land was divided, we know, was already divided. All the Shvatim took equally through the Gorlot, right? And therefore, one Shevet HaMu'at Kimeruba, doesn't matter, I mean, each Shevet got their Chelek in the Goral, and it was also divided up by the value of the land that was there. And therefore, what do you need to tell me, L'Rav Tarbeh, right, L'Ma'at Tamit? That's obvious outcome of that type of information. There's no other way to explain what happens without, you don't even have to write it. We would know that information if it was the Ba'ei Aretz. So it must be it's referencing the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And if it's the Yotzei Mitzrayim, right, then if somebody left Mitzrayim with 10 kids and then ends up going into Eretz Yisrael with 5 kids, or someone left Mitzrayim with 5 kids and then goes into Eretz Yisrael with 10 kids, I mean they had 5 more kids in the Midbar, then you have an issue where these Nachla that was divided is also going to be now not according to the Rav Taber and Tamit will be based on Mitzrayim and not on the Nichnasei Aretz, and that's the Chiddush that it's teaching you, that it won't match up with the Nichnasei Aretz. Right, so the Gemara here leaves it as a kasha, which is that we don't know how to answer that. This Tana, we don't know how to explain it according to that Tana, and the Gemara leaves it. Now the Gemara will go through more questions which it will answer. This is the one answer, one question that the Gemara does not have an answer for. It's Ramalera Papala Vaye, Bishlam Alambar Yotze Mitzrayim Anu de Kamtav Chan Belot Tzav Chad. Then we understand what Benot Tzav Chad were screaming about. Alaman Amar Alambay Aretz Amay Tzav Chan. Halayte, Delishko. Now wait, if Benot Tzav Chad, they approached Moshe and they said, listen, our father died in the Midbar, right? We don't have, we should get a chelik. He had no sons, we should get a chelik. Now that's only relevant if you divide to Yotze Mitzrayim. Then Tzav Chad had a chelik in the Aretz. But if you're talking about the Baye Aretz, Slavchad is not alive anymore. If he's not alive, he's not going to get anything. If he's not going to get anything, what are they complaining about? What are they screaming about? So, Mazela, the Chazara of Litom Nichsei Chefer. Now, there is still relevance for them. The relevance for them is even according to one who says the Ba'e Aretz Nilchalka, they still say that you're Chozer. You're Chozer until they're back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Chefer, their grandfather, was a Yotzei Mitzrayim. Therefore, those that enter, the brothers besides Slavchad, or their children that are entering into Eretz Yisrael will be entitled to a Chelik in Aretz. That property of the grandchildren of Chefer then will be sent back up to Chefer and divided by the children of Chefer. Divided by the children of Chefer, Tzlavchad is one of those children. So they will get a portion of what their first cousins are granted in going into the land of Eretz Yisrael. So their first cousins who get property will then be chozer to their grandfather and then redistributed. And they want to be in that redistribution. So that's even according to one who says by Aretz, they had a complaint. May not be about Slavchad, but they will have a complaint about Chefer. All right, so that's a very good question. Tosfos points that out. And the next, if you look in the next top of the next number, he says, Mashmakul sugya, to the man damar by Aretz, shalom nuklum machmat Slavchad atzmo. According to what it says by Aretz, according to this whole sugya, Slavchad was not relevant in terms of the beginning. And then what does it say? V'teima. Imkei maikamar v'ayehu lo haya b'toch heida no'adim al Hashem. They explain how he didn't die in all these different instances. Right. My nafkamina.
It flows back through him.
It doesn't. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because we saw before that when it came to like the Meraglim and it came to the Mitzvot Ananim, even if they didn't weren't entitled to land, but they were able to pass down from their fathers to the grandchildren.
Why did you say so far?
Right. So he says, the Tosa says he doesn't understand. According to this whole sugya, he doesn't understand how this all worked or why they were even complaining or matching, saying something up to the effect that Tzavchad wasn't alive or wasn't part of certain groups. It's not relevant at all. And that's what you're pointing out, Joel, that the language doesn't seem to match that. All right, now, Bishlam Alamandam Arlo Yotzei Mitzrayim. According to one, it says Yotzei Mitzrayim Hainu Dekat Tzavchad B'nei Yosef. That's why the B'nei Yosef are complaining, right? Because in Yoshua, so when it comes to Yoshua about, it says, Dikhtiv, over there in Yoshua, Vayidabru b'nei Yosef. So what is it, Vayidabru b'nei Yosef? So here in Yoshua, we're going to actually have to a couple of times, it's in Perek Yud Zayin in Yoshua. So it says, Vayidabru b'nei Yosef at Yoshua leimor. They come to Yoshua and they say, Madu anatata li nachla goral echad, v'chelev echad. Why did you give me one portion, and one strip of land, v'ani am rav? I'm a huge number of people. Because Hashem blessed me. We are the most numerous, right, of the in terms of population of the Shvatim. And yet we're still getting the same strip of land here. If you're a lot of people, if you're a lot of people, right, go to the forests. Go there to the Eretz Prizi and Rephaim and Kaki Atzlecha Har Ephraim. If Har Ephraim is too small for you, go to the forests and clear out those areas and build over there. And of course, B'nai Yosef says we can't do this. Right? Can't go there because the Knani have Rechav Barzel and they're too strong for us. Right? The iron chariots that are in Emek Yisrael and Beit Shan were unable to conquer, which later are conquered at the time of, right, Dvorah. But these iron chariots are preventing us from going down into the valleys and conquering. They says, you guys are numerous, you have a tremendous amount of strength, have bitachon that you can actually conquer those areas. You guys are stronger than them, you can go and do it, go ahead and do it, and you have enough space. But what's the claim of Bnei Yosef? Why are they tzavchei Bnei Yosef? Bnei Yosef are tzavchei because they said, listen, we have a lot of people here, and we have a small amount of land, and how could you go ahead and divide up the land this way? We're not getting enough to our population. So again, Bishlama Lamandamar, that was the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that's what they're complaining about. Lamanda Amar the Bayaretz, the one who says that they divided amongst the people coming into the lands, my Katzavche. What are they complaining about? Kulu Shakul. Right? They all got. Anybody coming into Eretz Israel who was over the age of 20 got a piece of land. So they got a portion. It wouldn't matter. I mean, what, even if they're Rav, they would have gotten Rav. What do they have to complain about? So the answer, the Gemara says, is because Mishum Tefalim Avu Nefesh Luhu. They had a large number of children, minors, but they had a large number of people under the age of 20. So anybody under the age of 20 was not Yoresh in Eretz Yisrael. So even in Ba'e Aretz, they still had a problem. Because when it came to Ba'e Aretz, only those over the age of 20 inherited, and they came in with a large number of children. So when they came in, a large number of children under the age of 20, then they still had a problem, because even though the Bayarids got Nitzchalka Aretz, nevertheless, they had a huge amount of population that was growing up and nowhere to go, because they all had huge, they had large families, right? They had a baby boom, a large number of families. Their families were large, and therefore, they had a problem, which is in the next, you know, couple of years, all these people will come of age and there will be no land for them. They'll be subdividing small portions of land.
But the two censuses were consistent, both either included the two above 20 or didn't.
Right. But that's what they're saying. They're saying since the Bayaretz, they're saying since the census, we had that census at the end of the Midbar in the 40th year that included only those over the age of 20. Right. And then all of a sudden now, we have a number of children who are 15, 14, and we're going to enter into the land and they're all going to grow up and then we're going to have to divide our land into these small, small portions. Because we weren't given enough to deal with the population growth that's coming up.
Right.
So I'm Rabbi Shmamina. Lo avacha de lo shakyo. Right? There wasn't anybody who didn't get. Tisagadata avacha de lo shakyo, ebayle de mitzvah. Right? Because if there was someone who didn't get, they should have screamed. Right? Meaning that just like Bnei Yosef complained about the fact that they didn't get enough, then there should be those that others who complained. Meaning that why do we only have two people that complained? The Torah only enumerates two people who complained. One is the Benot Slavchad. And the other is the Bnei Yosef. So if you say that there were others who did not get, I mean that those of Chad are complaining because they didn't get. But that means that there were others who possibly didn't get. How do we have others who didn't get? For instance, we saw before that children of the Miraglim or children of the Mitlonanim did not get from their fathers, only got from their grandfathers or their uncles or their maternal grandfathers. So they had to be, there had to be a certain distribution or, I guess, series of events which would allow them to inherit. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Abai is saying those events must have happened, because the only people to complain that they didn't get a Yusha Ba'aretz is Benot Tzavchad. If there were others who were also not included, they should have stepped up to Moshe and complained and said, listen, we're not getting any chelik on Eretz. So it must be, that's what Rabbi says, that everybody did get a chelik on Eretz, even though some of these situations have required a convoluted a number of events in order to have them get distributed property. That happened. And everybody got property. What are you going to say? Those that screamed and ended up with a solution, meaning the Bnot Tzavchad who complained and actually their complaint was accepted, and therefore they got the distribution. That's what the puzzle talked about. Tzavach v'lo hane, there were others that complained, and there was no value in their complaint because the problem was not solved. Lo kazvekra, then the puzzle did not write it. Habnei Yosef. We have Bnei Yosef and Yeshua who complained, and Tzavach v'lo hane, right? They complained and it didn't help. Yeshua says, too bad, go and conquer the area. So we see that the Torah, or at least here, the Navi, at least writes the complaints of Bnei Yosef, and even though it's not going to help, because we know, right? So even though their complaint is not accepted, or there's no solution to their complaint, or the solution to their complaint really does not address their complaint, it just says you gotta conquer your land. So therefore we see that it was written, and there, if it's not written by anybody else, that means that nobody else had a problem. That means everybody got a chelik ba'aretz. So that's a biased conclusion. The major areas that we're worried about are those either, right, that were pachot me'asrim when they went out of Mitzrayim, were less than 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim, which means that they were not entitled to a chelik ba'aretz. What? Yisomim, who went out of Mitzrayim, who were less than 20 years old, who did not have a father who was granting them property. So the only way they could get entitled to property was through chazara, right, through return, or through a grandfather either left Mitzrayim or a maternal grandfather who only had daughters and no sons. So again, all these situations where you have a possibility, which we discussed yesterday, the possibility that someone would not get a nachla naretz, a biased conclusion is that all those people who had that possibility were solved. I mean, somehow there was a series of events that allowed them. Either they had first cousins who inherited, who did through chazara, ended up with their grandfather and they re-inherited that way, or because they had, again, a mother who was amongst daughters and therefore they were able to inherit. There was definitely a possibility that that's according to one who says Mitzrayim, and the one who says to the Baya Aretz, right, who went into the Aretz, Pachot Miben Esrim, right, they could not get property, meaning that by Aretz, if they were under 20, then they would have to get it through Chazara. If their father was alive when they went in, then their father got the property and they were classified as a single entity or unit, and therefore they got it through their father. Alright, now, that pasuk is not about the failure to succeed in their complaint and gain more land, but rather it's advice that Yeshua is giving to them. Yeshua's response to the Bnei Yosef is, if you are a large number of people, and therefore the Ayin Hara could be shulet on you, go up to the forest. Why? What's in the forest? Go and hide in the forest. Go build your cities or your houses in log cabins in the forest, because you'll be shielded by the trees, so people will not know. Right? So that they won't, your Ayin Hara will not affect you. So Yeshua's advice back to them is, so the pasuk's not about what we think. We're thinking about, the problems of Nachla. It's true. It is about the Yosef and Yosef complain, we don't have enough Nachla. Yeshua's response is not dealing with the Nachla. Yeshua's response is giving them good advice. Listen, you have a lot of people here. Let me just tell you one thing. Before you worry about getting more land, make sure that you're protected from the Ayin Hara. How do you protect yourself from the Ayin Hara? Go into the forest, build your houses in these shielded areas where people are not going to be able to shalait. We are from the descendants of Yosef. We don't need this. We're descendants of Yosef. We don't need it. We don't have Ayin Hara. It's not shalait.
You have known that.
Right, in the bracha of Yosef, right? What does it mean? Ben parat alei ayin, that they were alei ayin, they were able to go above the eye. From Hebrew, al tikra alei ayin, ela olei ayin, those that are above the eye. So that those that are not subject to the ayin hara. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Mar Meocha, Vid Gularo, Beker of Arts, Madagim Shriya, Maim Mechasim Aleim, Vein Ayin Inshalet Beim. It's like the fish of the sea are covered by water and nobody can, there's no Ayin Ara because they can't see them. So to all of Zarosha Yosef, Ein Ayin Inshalet Beim, there isn't Ayin Ara. So they respond to Yeshua, Ayin Ara is not the issue that we're worried about here, we're simply worried about the, right, the Nitzchalka Aretz. But the reason those psukim are written is because, not because they were asking for land and failed, and therefore the Torah is saying they're the only ones who failed to get land or more land, but everybody else got land. No, they were written here because this whole conversation about the Ayin Hara. This conversation about the Ayin Hara is what the Torah is recording, not the conversation about the land, and therefore there could have been other people who did not receive a Chelek Baretz, and it's not written because only those that complained and succeeded are recorded in the Torah or the Navi. Those that failed are not recorded, and therefore maybe there were other groups of people who did not get a Chelek Baretz.
Abaye's point and Gemara's answer to Abaye was what?
Abaye says that there must have been no one else who did not get a portion of the land, even though it's not so simple that everybody got. Nevertheless, that happened. Why? Because there's nothing recorded in the Torah of anybody else complaining. Right. So Gemara says, oh, wow. I mean, nobody complaining. That's because nobody succeeded. I mean, the B'nai Yosef who succeeded were recorded. Others who did not succeed are not recorded. And Gemara says, you can't say that because there are B'nai Yosef who complained and did not succeed, and they are recorded. So they must be the only example of someone who complained and did not succeed, meaning didn't get what they wanted, but everybody else got their land, and they had nothing to complain about. So then the Gemara says, no, maybe the reason that B'nai Yosef are written has nothing to do with their complaint and not succeeding. It has to do with this whole issue of the Ayin Hara, which is a separate issue, nothing to do with the Nitchalka Haaretz, and therefore the Torah only recorded those that succeeded in getting land. Right? The Gemara says that your proof that B'nai Yosef, the only ones who complained and were rejected, is not, because that's not why it's written. It's written because of the Ayin Hara issue, not because of their complaint and failure. That means there may be others who complained and failed, just it wasn't recorded, because the Torah didn't record people who failed in their complaints. So if that's the case, there were other people who didn't get land. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, is whereby you don't have a proof from the fact that B'nai Yosef are recorded, that they're the only ones who recorded about failing. There could have been others that failed and just aren't recorded in the Torah or in the Navi. Ragleim Yeshua and Kalev natu chelkam. Comes from Ragleim Yeshua and Kalev took their portion. Menahan emili. How do you know that? So Amar Ula Ad Amar Kura, the Pasuk says, Yeshua bin Nun, Kalev bin Yifune, Chayu min Hashim Ahem. They lived out of the monks, the Ragleim, they're the only two to live. Ma Chayu. What does it mean they lived? Ilim Chayu Mamash, that they actually lived. We know that already from the census in Pinchas. That's already, we know that they're alive. I mean, so why do you need another pasuk to tell me that they're alive now, or that they survived the Meraglim? Why do I need that? So it must be that there's another piece of information here. What does that mean? That they lived in their portion. I mean, they lived in the portion of those Meraglim, of the other 10 Meraglim. They gained the
portions in the
Shvatim,
I assume that they did not get the chelik of those individuals in the other Shevet. I mean, that they were just awarded. I mean, that, you know, when you get to a Haugalah, you're in a lottery and you get tickets. So they got six tickets instead of one ticket. So they were able to get six portions instead of one portion. I don't assume that they went around 10, they had property all over the country.
But it has to mean that their Shevet's not halal.
Was increased by that, yeah. Proportionally.
Yehuda and Ephraim were increased.
Correct.
At the
proportionally, yes. Right, correct. That's exactly what the Rosh Hashanah explained.
Specifically, bring it says
which is later on, right?
Yeah, later on.
Right. Right, but the Gemara is looking at the Torah as a, you know, I mean, saying that, all right, we know they're going to live later on because that's in Pinchas. It doesn't tell you that they're here, that they're alive now in Shlach isn't relevant if we know that they're alive in Pinchas. If they're alive in Pinchas, what do you have to tell me they're alive in Shlach for?
They're both Hazara for those guys. Their children lost out also.
Well, that's what we said before, that their children were still able to inherit through their grandfathers.
I mean, that's in the Raglim.
Raglim's children were able to inherit through their grandfathers. We said before that they were not entitled to property through their fathers, but they were entitled to property through their grandfathers.
So what did Kalev and Yeshua get then? Just a life estate.
But no, the portion from being Yotzei Mitzrayim, but they didn't get their portions are necessarily, or maybe, I don't know, when you were Chozer, to the grandfather, they had a grandfather who left Mitzrayim, then that property was passed down to their real descendants, not to Yoshua and Kalev. Next one, Mitlonim v'adat korach lo yilem chelek baretz. Mitlonim and ad korach don't get a portion in the land. V'atanya meraglim mitlonim v'adat korach Yeshua v'kalev natu chelkam. So now it says, like the meraglim and the matlim and ad korach Yeshua v'kalev natu chelkam lo kasha. Mar mekish mitlonim demraglim, umar lo mekish mitlonim demraglim. Question is, who are these mitlonim over here? These mitlonim, are they hukash to the meraglim, or are these mitlonim part of Adad Korach? So if the mitlonim are part of Adad Korach, then Yeshua and Kalev don't have any rights or necessarily reason to take their portion in the land. On the other hand, if you think the mitlonim are other mitlonim, meaning that other complainers in the midbar, and they're not shayach to the, they could be shayach to the meraglim, and then Yeshua and Kalev got them. Why? Tanya, Avinu made Bamidbar. By Bnot Tzavchar, it says our father passed away in the Midbar. Zeh Tzavchot, that's himself. Ve'ulo ayah betoch Eida. It wasn't part of the Eida, was that Zeh Adat Miraglim, that were called Eida Razo, right? They were the ten, the Atzat Miraglim. Right now, Ve'nodim al Hashem, that went up against Hashem, Elu mitlonanim. Badat Korach, Chimashmal, and part of Badat Korach. So these, Noadim Hashem, Mar Mikesh mitlonanim Miraglim. One says the mitlonanim over here are the mitlonanim that are miraglim, which is vayulonu ha'am. Meaning that after the miraglim come back and say to Moshe, listen, there's a big problem over here. And then it says vayulonu ha'am, Moshe. That they start to complain. The whole nation starts to complain to Moshe, and that's the whole problem. That's why they get left in the midbar. Because they believe the report of the miraglim, and they start to complain. So one says that's what the miraglim, and therefore Yeshua and Kaleg would be entitled to right, both the portion of the Meraglim and the portion of the Mitlonanim, because they are Shayach to the Meraglim. Omar, Lomikich Mitlonanim Meraglim. No. The Mitlonanim over here are not part of the Meraglim. The Mitlonanim are like Adat Korach. Right, those that joined in Adat Korach, the 250 Maktira Kotorot. So Ramaroi, Rabbah, Rabbi, Ulman, the Meshkish, Mitlonanim Meraglim. So according to one who says that the Mitlonanim are like the Meraglim, meaning that Vayelonu, right, Vayelonu Am Moshe, that they go and complain to Moshe, and now what do you have? Ichbel Yeshua v'Kalev Yatul Lukul Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua and Kalev end up with all of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Who complained? Let's go. It's the ten Meraglim, and you have the whole B'nai Yisrael are complaining at that point in time. All those are going to be left in the Midbar. So now, Yeshua and Kalev now inherit everything. They get the entire Eretz Yisrael. How could that be? He says, no. Amalei mitlonim shabat korach kamina. No, I'm talking about the mitlonim as part of adad korach. So now that changes, right, the... Right, there are other times that they complain.
There are other times. Okay, I mean, this word, you know, mitlonim, so all of Israel complained at one time or another.
Right, the word vayilon was used a number of times, but the drinking, the... time in Baloscha, and then again in Shlach, so there's a number of times that they complain, they would end up with everything. So he says, no, that when we say Mitlonanim over here, we mean the Mitlonanim of Adat Korach. So those are the 250 Maktira Ektores of the Adat Korach. Those are the Mitlonanim. And when we say Mekish, right, since they're found in the same Pasuk, that's what the Mekish is. Not that these Mitlonanim are either all the Mitlonanim of the Midbar or the Mitlonanim of the Meraglim, where they would get everything. No, these are the specific Mitlonanim of Adat Korach. The question is, now, when you're Mekish, there are two directions to go. Mitlonanim are in between Adat Korach and the Meraglim. So where do they go? Do they go, the Mitlonanim go with Adat Korach, and therefore it's distributed to all of Klal Yisrael? Or do the Mitlonanim go with Meraglim, and then it's distributed to Yeshua and Kalev? So Machloket Abraitot is exactly that. Those two 250 Maktiyak Torah, which way does their property go? Does their property go to Yeshua and Kalev, or does their property get divided, or subdivided, or reapportioned to all of Klal Yisrael?
It's a little bit hard to say about that, but it says they go to Yeshua and Kalev.
Right, what's their sheikhos by the Adat Korach, right?
You say like Meraglim, what their sheikhos, they stood up to the Meraglim.
Right. All right. So now, I'm a layer of popular by Bishlam on the Mandamar Yotze Mitzrayim Nilchok Aretz. Again, makes more sense. Hanu Tichtiv. So this is back in Yoshua. And Yoshua it says, Vayiplu. So I read you the Psukim in Yoshua. It says, Vayigoral Lamate Menashe. Ki Bechor Yosef Lumachir. Right? So they divide up the land into Menashe. We know that Chatzi Shevi Menashe took on the eastern side of the Yordain, right, up in the Golan. And the other half of Menashe took on the western side of the Yordain. So here, they say that the Bashan. Kibachad Machir ben Chor Menashe via Gilad, Kiyoya Ish Mechoma, Vilo Gilad va Bashan. So that's the Gilad and the Bashan go to Gilad and to Machir. And that's the eastern side. Now on the western side, Vayil ben Menashe no Tarim le Mishpechotam. The remaining Beit Avot of Menashe take their portion in Eretz Yisrael. Who are they? Livnei Abiezer, Livnei Chelek, Livnei Asriel, Livnei Shechem, Livnei Chefer, Livnei Shmida. So there's six families over there that take on the western side.
Two on the eastern side,
Machir and Gilad. And on the western side, you have the six. Eile Bnei Menashe, Bnei Yosef, Ascharim, Mishpachotam. That's six. But then, it says, brings down the case, Utslavchai ben Chefer ben Gilad, ben Machir ben Menashe, lo yubanim, ki im banot. Here's the story of Slavchad. Ve'ele shmot benotav. Machla noach gla milka v'tirtza. Va'tikrav lifnei Elazar Kohen lifnei Yeshua binun. So they come to Elazar and Yeshua. Lifnei nisim lemar shem tzivat Moshe. L'tei lanu nachla b'toch achino. We have to get a portion with our brothers. Va'yitein lehem et pi Hashem nachla b'toch achei abiyem. So they do. They get, based on what Hashem said, they give the Ibnot Slavchad a portion. Va'yiplu chavlei Menashe asara. There were 10 portions distributed to Menashe. Levad me'eretz ha'gilad v'bashan asher me'ever the Yarden. Excluding what was given on the eastern side of the Yarden, there are 10 portions given on the western side. Why? Ki benot mashen achlu nachla b'toch banam. Because benot tovchad also got a portion amongst the children. Ve'eretz ha'gilad, I tell of name asher anotarim. And eretz ha'gilad was the rest of Menashe. Now, when we named before, we said on the western side of the Yarden there were 6 families, which would have been 6 portions on the western side. Gilad and Machir got on the eastern side. Then the Torah comes back and says, Ve'yiplu chablei menashe asara. They got 10 portions on the western side. Why do they get 10 portions on the western side? Because of Benot Tzavchad. Now wait, if it's because of Benot Tzavchad, that means now we had 6 because of the Batei Avot, plus 4 because of Benot Tzavchad. That means Benot Tzavchad actually got 4 portions in the land. All right, we have to do our mission. I only said 3 before. They got 4 portions in the land. So now he says, that only makes sense according to Yotzei Mitzrayim. Why? Because now, if you have the Yotzei Mitzrayim, we can fit this in. Bishlam Lamanda Yotzei Mitzrayim Nichalka Aretz, Anu Yotzei Viplu Chavlei Mashina Asara. Shita de Shita Betei Avot. 6 that belong to the 6 families that I read to you, right? Chefer, Asriel, Aviezer, Chelek, Shechem, right? And Shmida. Varba Didhu. And the 4 that belong to Benot Tzavchad, right? Asara. That's 10. Elo Lamanda Amala Vaya Aretz. Right? If you say that the Aretz is only Nichalka by Aretz, Tam Yehuda Avu. They only had 8. Right.
Is already listed. Is one of the 6.
Right, but they left Benot Tzavchad. They put them aside. That they're totally separate. So that just you have the other rest of the family of Chefer plus the Chelik.
When it says Chefer, it's not all of what.
Right. It's the Benot Tzavchad are excluded. Correct. So now the Shita Batei Avot, because then you have 6 of the Batei Avot who traded who, and then the 2 portions that they got, right? Because for them, if it's Nitchalka Bayi Aretz, Tzavchad is not relevant anymore. Tzavchad died in the Midbar, and he's not part of Bayi Aretz. So their portion, meaning that Tzavchad doesn't have a portion. If he doesn't have a portion, then they don't get anything from Tzavchad. The only thing they get from is Chefer, because he was Chazara. From their first cousins, they get through Chefer. So now,
they got a double portion,
because Tzavchad was a Bechor. Correct. So now, Hatamya, that would be only be 8. Veli Tamech, he says, according to your reason, the Mandarma Yotzei Mitzrayim in the Chalka Arts, Tetavu. There are only 9, because we had our Mishnah before, we know. But before we said that there were 6 Batei Avot, and Benot Tzavchad got 3 in the Mishnah. How did they get 3 portions of the Arts? They got the portion of Tzavchad, their father, plus they got the portion of Chefer. But Tzavchad was a Bechor to Chefer, so they got a double portion. So that's 3 portions. If they got 3 portions, plus the 6 Batei Avot, you only have 9. Where are you coming up with the fact that they got 4 portions in the land, and now they had 10? Where's this fourth portion coming from? We don't even know about a fourth portion. So how do you explain, even according to what it says, Yotzei Mitzrayim, how do you get from 3 to 4? They had one of their father's brothers passed away, right? And they inherited through their father, their brother's portion, their uncle's portion. So Achanamis, I can solve that problem. It's Trei Achedab Havaluhu. Right, 2 brothers passed away. If you really want to introduce this type of explanation, or that the uncle's passed away, you can have one uncle pass away, you can have 2 uncles pass away. You can have it, I can solve the problem for both Yotzei Mitzrayim and Bayi Aretz. The Tanya, we have a price. Naton, diten lahem zu nachlat avien. Right, you should give it to them. This is the nachla of their father. Metoch achei avien, right, amongst their brothers, their uncles, right, that means zu nachlat avien. That's from Chefer. Right, so the noten diten lahem is nachlat tzavchad, the portion of tzavchad they get. Metoch achei avien is the portion of Chefer. And they will get, in addition to that, the nachlat aviyem. What's the additional portion of their father? Additional portion of father is that he's a bechor. And if he's a bechor, he also gets the double portion within chefer. They even took a portion of their uncle. Shenemar naton titain. It says naton and titain, which is a double lashon. And the double lashon teaches you naton titain. Oh, now he needs another uncle. Where do they get the other end? The uncle, how mi achuzat nachla nafka. They get it from the word achuzat nachla, which is at the end of the pasuk, so that they get achuzat nachla as the fourth portion that they get. Now,
they're not even halachic, because some of them become.
Right. Not each portion is the same size portion, because you're dividing amongst more people, right? Some of the portions. Then according to the Tanakam over here says, Noten Liten Lehem Zu Nachla Tavien. How does he get a Nachla for the children? Because he thinks Naton Titen is only one Nachla. He doesn't darshan the double Lashon. So the Tanakam will have to use also Mechuzat Nachla. So Noten Titen plus Achuzat Nachla together, that will give him the 4 portions he needs. So Amar Leira Pavla Baye Kra Maika Chashiv. Right? What is the pasuk enumerating over here? When the pasuk comes and says that they are gaining a portion in the land, what are they gaining? Eat falim kachashiv. If they are talking about people under the age of 20, tuvahavu. There are numerous people who didn't. Meaning that when you're talking about the 10 portions that Meshevet Menasheh got, why are they? Who are they enumerating in terms of the 10 portions? You have the 4 portions of the Benot Zavchad, and you have the 6 portions of the Batei Avot. So now, who are they enumerating here? If they are enumerating even the Tfalim, even those under the age of 20, then Tuva Avot, there were many that should have inherited. E Batei Avot Kachashiv. If it's a enumerating just the Batei Avot that inherited, then Shita Avu. Then there are only 6. So then, why are they enumerating here? What's the 10 coming from? I mean, the 10 are, as Shaul said before, even the Bnot Safchad, or their 4 portions are still amongst the Sheish Batei Avot. They're still part of Beit Chefer. They're still part of the Batei Avot. So the Gemara says, no, La'olam Batei Avot Kachashiv, V'ha'kamashmalan, the Bnot Safchad, Nanu Chelek B'chora. Yes, they are enumerating the Batei Avot, so why did it separate out the portions of Bnot Safchad, even though they're part of Batei Avot of Chefer? I mean, again, Shaul pointed it out, meaning that, okay, we know Chefer got, so why are they getting a separate mention, differentiated from that of Chefer? So the Kamash Malan is that Bnot Safchad Nanu B'chalik B'chora, right, so that they got a portion of the B'chora. Alma, from this we can conclude Eretz Yisrael Mukhzeketi. It's a very important conclusion, which is that it must be that Eretz Yisrael is Mukhzak to those that were entitled to get a chelik in the Aretz. Why? Because we have a principle of Bechor. It's a good thing nobody answered this until now. A Bechor only gets, right, B'Mukhzak and not B'Ra'oi. He only gets something that was already apportioned to the individual, but not something after the individual passes away, and then he gets a portion of the land. He does, the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. That was called Ra'ui. So that in the future will become, or come to him, that is not classified as something that's subject to the Mishpat HaBechorah. But subject to Mishpat HaBechorah is only items that already were in possession of those individuals. So it must be, the conclusion is, that Amma Eretz Yisrael Mechuzeki, it must be those that Yotzei Mitzrayim already had, were Mechuzak in their property in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they got a double portion. So I'm a mar.
I think it's the machlokes of nischalke, those who left, those who didn't. I mean, if it's nischalke, those who left, then clearly it was mukzak already.
Well, no, I mean, those, if it's nischalke, you'll say Mitzrayim. It only happens later on. The nischalke aris is only done in Pinchas.
We're still not being considered as mukzak.
But now that's what the answer. That's the Shema Minah. Shema Minah is even though it was only distributed in Pinchas. And it was distributed based on Yotzei Mitzrayim. They had a din of being Mechuzak and Aretz all the way, meaning already. Otherwise, you can't talk about a Chelek B'chora for the Bnot Safchad. So that's the answer. It's right. The Bayi Aretz doesn't know Chiddush to say. Because even the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that they're considered Mechuzak Ba'aretz, and if they are Mechuzak Ba'aretz, then they are able to distribute even according to B'chora. So I'm Amar. V'abanim natlu b'schut avi avihem. At the end of the brisa that we brought before, the brisa says that the Adat Korach and the Meraglim and the Mitlonanim did not get a portion of the land. And it says, V'abanim, those children were able to get B'zchut Avi Aviyan and B'zchut Avi Imotayim. So that's one brisa. V'atanya, we have a separate brisa that says, B'zchut Atzman, they got a portion of the land based on their own. So, well, kasha, that's not a problem. Akaman damar the Yotzei Mitzrayim, Akaman damar the Bayaretz, no problem. Because we could explain this. The one who says they got the Zchut Atzmam was at the Aretz Nechalka Le Bayaretz. So therefore, the children are going into there, they're Bayaretz. Their children are Bayaretz. They got their own portion, there's nothing to talk about. According to the one who says that it's Yotzei Mitzrayim, the only reason they got a portion is because of their grandfathers. So that's either through their maternal or paternal grandfather, because their fathers didn't give them any land, because they lost it. In Adat Korach, Umraglim, Itlonim, they lost their property. Vibai same and the other possibilities have a hala bayaretz. No, that the land was nitchalka le bayaretz. Vokasha had have a benestrim. Had a love a benestrim. Depends how old they were going into the land. I mean, if the children were already over the age of 20, they were inheriting based on their own rights that they're going into the land. But if they were under the age of 20 and their fathers were part of Adat Korach Meraglim Mitlonanim, they got nothing because they didn't get anything from their fathers. They didn't get anything from themselves because they're under 20. How's the only way that they got property when they entered into Eretz Yisrael? It's through their grandfathers. Because even the one who says the Bayi Aretz and the Chalka Aretz, he still says that there is Chazara. There's still, right, a Chazara to the original Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then it's redistributed. So their first cousins will entitle them to property inside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's the only way they get Eretz Yisrael.
Because anyone who was under 20 also got some kind of a portion from his grandfather.
Right, but that's explaining that how did these individuals get. Right, you're correct. That according to the one who says Bayi Aretz, under 20, they also had to get it the same way. Everybody got it that way. unless their father was alive.
Yeah.
But here it is clear their fathers were not alive. Now, there is a unclear here, the Gemara's question over here, that last statement, and David, you asked this yesterday, that last statement, is this whole question, this last statement, all according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, or is this all according to the one who says that the Ba'ei Aretz means only Rabbi Yonatan? And that when we say that it's Nidchalka, when we say Izeima, that it's both of them, Havaha, the Ba'ei Aretz, who are we speaking about here? The possibilities are that it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right, that the whole end here is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and then we set it up like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says it's both Ba'ei Aretz and Yotzei Mitzrayim. So these B'nei Hem, Yorshim Otam Kibnot Savchad, that they get either because of their grandfather who was a Yotzei Mitzrayim, or they get from themselves who are Nichnasei Haaretz. That's the two possibilities. Meaning that we could talk about a single set of individuals who get both. Meaning the brightot could be true from both perspectives. I mean, they could have gotten from Atzman, and they could have gotten from their grandfather, because both of those were distributed. Right? So that's the possibility of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, because there is no, again, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no chazara. It's just those who left Mitzrayim had a portion, and those that had, right, below, who came into Eretz get it. So that's one possibility. And the other possibility is that the Seifa is not Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right, that the zchut is ayidei chazara, right, that the rights that they got here were through chazara, and that they got it the way we explained it before, which is simply that those that had come out of bayaretz, even though nitchalek aretz lahem, they still had to return it to their Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then they got redistributed based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And even though their fathers were not entitled to a portion, we said before, that's not true, even though their fathers lost their portion, their grandfather portion they did not lose, because avi avot harayim kavot. My grandfathers are like children, mean banim, you know, bnei banim, harayim kabanim, and therefore they have a direct link to their grandfather. They have a direct link to their grandfather, they can bypass their father and still get the nachla that was entitled to their grandfather. So again, that was what we mentioned before when we read this last portion of the Gemara over there. We said, number one, the fact that Yeshua and Kalev, right, inherited in the land, has to be according, or inherited those of the Meraglim, has to be according to the one who says, Yotzei Mitzrayim. So it either is Rabbi Shimon Elazar says in Yotzei Mitzrayim, or according to Rabbi Oshio says Yotzei Mitzrayim. Otherwise, what's the relevance of Yeshua and Kalev getting a portion of the land? I mean that they were taken away from the Meraglim, and only it matters if the Meraglim actually got a portion of the land. Then the next statement in the Brisa that says that the Banim got the Zchut Avi Imotehem, or Avi Avihem, that they got the Zchut of their grandfathers. Now that can only be according to, right, either Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, or to the one who says Nitchalka Le Va'ei Aretz, right, that it was divided amongst those that went into the land, according to the way the Gemara is explaining over here, that it's all the Va'ei Aretz. So according to the way they're explaining it, it's either Rabbi Shimon Elazar who says it's divided the Va'ei Aretz, and they got their portion because of their grandfather who got it from Yotzei Mitzrayim, or according to one who says it's just the Va'ei Aretz, there's Chazara to their grandfather, and the Chazara to their grandfather entitled them to inherit bypassing their father, and that's how they got the inheritance. Now, the last question is, why couldn't you just say, Yibayisema, Habaha, the Yotzei Mitzrayim? Why can't you just say that the both right that they're talking about, Yotzei Mitzrayim? What's the problem with that? The problem with that is, they can't get me Yotzei Mitzrayim, because we're talking about someone who was over the age of 20. And it also says, why don't you say, Hi, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, V'ha'a Adam B'nei Asrim K'shiyatsu. Right, so that, well, if we're talking about the, under 20, then it must be that we're talking about the Ba'ei Aretz and not talking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Alright, so we'll stop over here.